This is HPR episode 2659 entitled, Further Ancillary Bash Tips, 11, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 28 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Making Decisions in Bash, Part 3.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. So I'm doing another show in my Bash Tips sub-series, because they're part of the Bash Scripting series. This is the 11th episode on Bash Tips that I've done, and this is the third of a group of shows that I'm making about making decisions in Bash. In the last two episodes, we saw the types of tests that Bash provides, and we looked briefly at some of the commands that use these tests. Now we want to start examining the expressions that can be used in the tests and how to combine them. We'll also start looking at string comparisons in extended tests. So let's look at Bash's conditional expressions. So our examples of tests have contained these already, but I haven't explained them and I haven't listed them all. What I've done here is to copy the contents of the appropriate section of the GNU Bash manual. I've put a link in here as well, and it's also in the Bash man page. I thought I would include this in the long notes because it's just useful to have a reference point, and finding these otherwise can be a little bit difficult. Certainly reading the Bash man page is quite a journey, because it's huge. So what I've done is I've taken that list and I've reproduced it into the notes, but I've added a few explanations where it seemed necessary to make it a bit more detailed to explain things a little bit better. I'm not going to read them all out. I'll just sort of whiz through them and refer to specific tests that I think you might need to use in the simpler types of script. So the conditional expressions are used by so-called extended test operators. That's the double open and double close square brackets. And also by the test command and the single open and close square brackets, which are built-in commands. And I talked about these in the first part of this group of shows, which I've referenced here, 2639. Now, the expressions can be unary or binary. Unary operators take a single argument to the right. We'll see some of these in a minute. Whereas the binary operators take two arguments, one to the left and one to the right. Unary expressions are often used to examine the status of a file. Not all of them, though. There are string operators and numeric comparison operators as well. When you're using the extended test operators, the less than sign and greater than sign operators, when comparing two strings in that way, sort lexicographically using the current locale. So that means Bash knows what locale you're using in your operating system, whether you're using the UK locale or you're in France or wherever, and it will use the character sets which are appropriate. However, the test command and the single square bracket equivalent uses just plain ASCII ordering when comparing things. Personally, I don't use string comparisons of that sort to determine whether one string is greater than another. Can, I guess, be useful if you're doing some sort of sorting type comparison, but it's a little bit prone to misunderstanding, I find, anyway. The other thing to say is that unless it's otherwise specified, the operators which operate on files follow the symbolic links and operate on the target rather than on the link itself. So if you've got a link to a file and you do some comparison with it, for example, to check whether it exists, then it's not the link that you're... because a link can exist and the file it points to can be kind of vanished. So it's not whether the link exists you're asking, it's whether the file exists that it points to. Okay, it's getting a bit complex already. So I'm just going to pop through these things relatively quickly, as I say. I'm going to skip over a fair number of them. The first one, the minus A followed by the name of a file, that's a check to see if a file exists, but ideally you shouldn't use it because it's ambiguous, I think. I'll come on to why in a minute, but I thought I'd just mention it. It's been deprecated, which I think is going to be removed at some stage. Minus lowercase d followed by a file name, if the file exists and is a directory, that will return true. And the minus lowercase e file is true if the file exists. We've seen that. I've used that in some examples already. There are quite a lot of others relating to files, which I'm not going to go into. There is a minus h one. Minus h file is true if the file exists and is a symbolic link. So you can actually find out what things you have in your directory which are symbolic links if you need to. That'll be one that doesn't follow through to the far end. So I assume that you could loop through files and determine which ones were links and then check to see if the file they pointed to existed, and on that basis delete things which are no longer pointed to a file. I haven't tested this, so it's not one of my examples, but I guess you could do that. Here's one I didn't know before. There's a minus T followed by a number of a file descriptor. I haven't talked about file descriptors, and I can't say I'm all that up to speed with how you work with file descriptors. Something I should maybe do later on, but it can be used to check whether standard in, which is file descriptor 0, or standard out, which is file descriptor 1, are terminals. So you can use minus T0 or minus T1 to ask whether either of these is connected to a terminal. So you could have piece of work, a script that was running detached from a terminal and could work out whether or not it was connected through that means. But that's probably more advanced than I should talk about. I quite like minus S followed by a file name because it checks to see if a file exists and whether it has a size greater than 0. So you can do things like check the output file from something. It might exist, but it might be empty. So it's useful to be able to say that looks like the program didn't write anything, and that might be suspicious in a script. Here's one I had not come across before until I started preparing this list. It's minus V, lowercase v, followed by the name of a variable. If the shell variable referenced is set, that is, has been assigned a value, then it returns true. That might be useful just to find out things about variables. Again, I've not created examples for any of these, and I've not really tested them. I'm just prattling about them off the top of my head, really. Minus Z followed by a string or a variable is true if the length of the string or variable is 0. So I guess you'd put, when it says string, it means a variable substitution in double quotes. So that way you could work out if particular string that you'd captured from somewhere or other had a length of 0. There's a corresponding minus lowercase n followed by a string, which is true if the string is non-zero length. So those are the bunch of unary operators. There's a few binary ones. There's one where you can compare two strings. So you'd compare string 1, then two equal signs, and string 2. You could also use a single equal sign. And that's true if the two strings are equal. When you use it with extended tests, this This can also perform pattern matching, which I'm going to go into detail about later. The converse of the double equals is exclamation mark equals, that's not equals. Then we come to string 1 less than string 2, and that's just about whether it sorts before string 1 sorts before string 2, and string 1 greater than string 2, which is the opposite. And the last set is where you have an expression that consists of an argument 1, an operator, and an argument 2. And the operators are things like minus EQ, minus NE. These are all arithmetic binary operators, and they return true if the first argument is equal to, if you're using EQ, or not equal to, if you use NE, not equal to argument 2. So I've already done examples of this in some of the earlier shows in this group. So hopefully they're pretty obvious. They're listed out in the notes here, but I'm not going to go into tiny, minute detail. So if you want to do things like construct a more complex expression where you concatenate or combine the simpler expressions, then you can use an exclamation mark to reverse the effect. So not, that's a not symbol, not operator, followed by the expression. So you could do not minus E and then some file name, which will check to see if it doesn't exist. Come return true if it doesn't exist. The order in which these things are, the combined expressions are evaluated, can be changed by putting parentheses around bits of the expression. So it changes the normal precedence of operators. That's really to do with the ordering of not and an or, which are sort of Boolean operators. If you want to combine the results of two expressions using an and operation, then you use minus lowercase a. That's where I said it. There's a potential ambiguity with the unary minus a. There's also a minus o for or, which is also, there's also a unary version. But these forms, minus A and minus O, are only available in when used with test and with the single square brackets. If you are combining expressions and wanting logical ands and ors, and you're using extended tests, then you use the double ampersand and the double vertical bar, which I talked about in a slightly different context in the last show. These ones short circuit, unlike the minus A and minus O. So if, and I explained this in the context of command lists in the last show, so maybe I don't need to go into detail, but the notes do attempt to explain this a little bit. Okay, so that's really all there is to be said about, in a formal way, about this stuff. So conditional expression examples. Example 1. Well, there's a typical example of a not equals, not minus E, I should say, which checks to see if a file exists. So we've got if double open square brackets exclamation mark space minus E space, and then the name of a file in double quotes, close square brackets, semicolon, then we echo file not found and exit with a value of 1, and then finish the if with an fi. So that's just, I'm not going to read out all these examples because it doesn't seem necessary. But this is a typical example of the minus e operator, and it's checking for the existence of a file, and if it doesn't exist, it's going to abort the script that it's in. So this is just a snippet. Exiting with 1, I think I've said this several times already in previous shows, means that the thing that's calling the script, that's maybe calling the script that you're writing, can take error action on the basis of whether the called script fails or not. As you will probably recall from the last show, this can also be written as a command list, and I've shown an example of it. I won't read it out and explain any more because I think it's pretty self-evident and there's plenty of information in these notes and the previous ones. So example 2 is a complete script, though not very interesting one, which checks to see if a particular directory exists, and if not, creates it. So the directory that we're interested in is stored in the variable basedir, which is in capitals. And then we check to see whether, using the minus d unary option operator with a not in front of it, to see whether the directory exists. So if it doesn't exist, then we're going to create it. And we use mkdir, makedir, to create that directory. But as an extra twist, the make dir command is followed, is part of a command list, so it's followed by the two vertical bars, logical or, and in curly braces an echo that says fail to create it, because the command's failed, and exits with a value of 1. Otherwise it will echo created base dir, whatever the value. So I've included that one as a downloadable script that you can grab and mess around with if you want to. Example 3 is looking at checking the length of a string. And the string might be the output from a command or input from the script user, for example. So one way to check, see if the string is empty, is using if, and then use an extended test where you compare the parameter substitution expression dollar open curly bracket hash mark reply, that's the name of the variable, close curly brace. So if you remember from one of the earliest shows in this series, that's how you get a number representing the length of the variable reply in this case. So we compare that with 0 using a minus EQ, and then if that is 0, then we echo please provide a non-empty reply. That's certainly one way to do it. It works, it's fine. Maybe a better way of doing it is to use the minus z operator against dollar reply and do it the same. So I wrote a little script just to demonstrate the two things. It reads from the standard in to get a message which you can type, and it then checks to see if it's empty or not, and it does it using both methods. So I've run it with some test data. In the first case, please enter a string, it says, and I typed OK, and then it comes back and says you said OK. Then it does it again, please enter a string, and I just pressed return. It said please provide a non-empty reply. You can download this one to play with. It's called bash11_ex2.sh. So there's tons more of these types of examples I could go into, but I think it's simple enough that you can experiment with these yourself if you're so minded. What I want to talk about now is the bit where we were talking about string comparison. String comparisons are more powerful than some of the other expressions that we've looked at, and there's another operator that isn't in that list. Remember, I copied that list, so it's not included there, which just seems a little odd, actually. But anyway, there's another operator which allows you to do string comparisons using regular expression. Now, I'm not going to look at that today, and that's coming in the next show, the next episode in this series, because that's one of the most powerful things, but also pretty complex. But when we're doing string comparisons in Bash, it can be a bit more than just simply comparing two strings. We can use pattern matching. When we're comparing strings with test and single square brackets using equals equals or not equals, the exclamation mark equals, the two strings being compared are treated as plain strings, not surprisingly. However, when we use extended test operators, that's the double square brackets, it's possible to compare the left-hand argument with a pattern as the right-hand argument. You can't swap them around. You can't have a pattern on the left and the string on the right. So it's string on the left, pattern on the right. And I've referenced the GNU Bash manual about this, because it's quite a lot of detail there. The pattern and pattern comparison stuff was all discussed back in 2278 and 2293, which are in this series of Bash tips. But it was talked about in the context of path name expansion. You might want to go back and look at the notes if you want to use this, because this is actually quite powerful. When doing string comparison in an expression like this, then the pattern is treated as if the ext glob, ext glob option were enabled. So you don't have to switch it on. You did have to do that with path name expansion if you wanted to get all the fancy stuff, but it's here without needing any further work inside extended tests. There's also another option called no case match, so you can actually make the pattern case insensitive if you wish. So you can do some quite sophisticated pattern matching, but the pattern must not be quoted. If you do so, then it's treated as a simple string and all the pattern magic doesn't work. Now, according to the documentation, it's possible to quote part of a pattern, and that way you can treat pattern meta characters as simple characters. But I haven't managed to get that to work, as I say in the footnote here. I don't understand what they're getting at, and I haven't found any comprehensive documentation that explains this feature. So I guess we'll leave that there for the moment. If I find out more, I will pass the message on. So here's some pattern matching examples then. So this is example 4 in this show, and what we're doing here is we're setting, it's just a snippet of code. We're setting a variable animal equal to the string grizzly bear. Then the test is if, and then double open square brackets, dollar animal equal star bear. Now, there's no quotes around this. This is a pattern, asterisk bear, and then close the double square brackets, semicolon, then we echo, this is true, we echo detected a type of bear, colon, then the name of the animal, the contents of the variable. So this, it tests for any string which ends with the letters B-E-A-R. And that includes a string that just contains the word bear. So, whoopee, you say. But that's actually quite powerful. You can do, in just sort of basic pattern matching, that type of comparison can be quite useful. So that's just a simple glob type comparison. Example 5 uses an extended glob. In this case, it's another snippet, although this one exists as a complete script that you can download and play with. So we've got a variable called str, which is set to the title of this particular show. And the comparison we make is between the variable str equals, but it's the pattern that's the important bit. So I'll concentrate on that. Now this uses an extended pattern that you get with ext glob usually, which consists of a plus sign followed by some stuff in parentheses. That format says one or more occurrences of whatever the pattern is within those parentheses. Well, the pattern in this case is a square bracketed pattern. Remember, that's a thing you can use for ranges of characters and so forth. And inside the square brackets, we have a character class, POSIX character class, which is ALNUM, alphanumeric, but you have to write that as square brackets, colon, ALNUM, colon, close square bracket. So that's a character class which you can only use inside a character range expression. That's then followed with a space and a hyphen. So we're saying that one or more of alphanumeric characters, spaces, and hyphens we're matching with. So since the title is further ancillary bash tips space hyphen space 11, it should match. And if you run it, you'll find it does. Example 6 is another one of these extended patterns. This one uses an at followed by a pattern list inside parentheses. This one, if you do that, matches any one of a list of patterns. The subsidiary patterns, the list of patterns, is separated by vertical bar characters. So in the actual script, this is another standalone script that you can download. It's simple though. There's a loop for loop which sets a variable called str to successively the strings dog, pig, rat and cat, and also a blank string, an empty string. The comparison is being made between this str variable and at open parentheses pig vertical bar dog vertical bar cat close parentheses. So what actually happens when you run it is you get back the indication that it matched the dog, it matched the pig, but it didn't match rat because it's not one of those names in that list. It matched cat, but it didn't match the empty string. So it's pretty obscure. If you've not been brought up to this stuff, if you've not learned this, then it is quite obscure. But I was quite, personally, I was quite pleased to find that there was this facility in Bash and do use it. And using it in this context is also extremely powerful, I find. Don't have many scripts that do it, I have to say, but after doing this show, I'll probably be using it quite a lot. So the last example, and before we finish, is example 7. And this is another one that you can download, Bash 11 EX5 it is. This one is making a comparison of a pattern and a variable again, and but in this case the pattern is stored in a variable itself, just to demonstrate that that's possible. The pattern matches any word that ends with M-A-N and which is longer than three letters. So the expression inside this that's being matched is a plus followed by a parenthesized list of patterns, and the patterns in this list was one. It's a square bracketed range expression, and inside it is a character class, and it's the character class word, so it's square brackets colon word colon square bracket, and that matches characters which are letters, numbers and the underscore. That's then followed, the pattern's not finished yet, that's then followed with the word man. So what it's saying is one or more word characters followed by M-A-N. There's a for loop that goes through a list setting str to the values man, lowercase, woman, German, X-Man, romance and an empty string, and the if checks each one of these $str equals $pattern. Pattern is what contains the pattern, as you'll see if you look at the script. And if it matches, it says matched and reports the string that matched. Otherwise, it says didn't match and reports that string. And it starts off by reporting what the pattern is. So it didn't match man because man doesn't have a preceding word character. Matched woman, matched German, it matched X-Man, but it didn't match romance because the man didn't end, it wasn't at the end of the string. And it also didn't match the empty string, not too surprisingly. I pointed out in the notes here that the expression that I used, the if statement that I used, gets flagged as an error by the spell check, not spell check, shell check tool that I use inside Vim where I develop these things. And it complains that dollar pattern should be quoted to prevent glob matching, it says. But since that's what we're trying to do, it's a little irritating that it does that. But then you can't expect it to know what I'm supposed to do. It can't read my mind. It's possible with shell check, if you want to get into it at all, to include a comment in front of the thing that causes a problem that says ignore this, effectively ignore error number SC2053. But I won't go into more detail about that one. Okay, so we now know that you can do some cool things with string matching using patterns, so I hope you find that useful. And as I said already, we're going to go on to look at the other types of string matching, which is using regular expressions, which is even more powerful. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.